As we get ready tonight, I want to share with you a message that the Lord put on my heart a few weeks ago. And I don't know if you read the Bible in different translations, but if you don't, I want to encourage you, don't just read the same translation, because a lot of times you'll see things in a little different way. Don't read the Watchtower version of the Bible, but there are a lot of other good ones, you know, that are good versions. You want to be careful about the translations you read. But I was reading the New Living Translation, and I don't study out of that, but I like to read it a lot. And there's some really good, you know, just some really good things that it says in there. Now, I want to read you a passage of Scripture tonight. If you've got your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 13 to verse 26 out of the New Living Translation. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've all probably read this many times, and I love it when you read the Bible. How many of you know the Bible's the only book that will read you back? You know what I'm saying? It's so amazing. The many, you know, I've read the Gospels I don't know how many times since I got saved in 1998. And it's like God can just speak to you fresh on something that you've read so many times over and over. So Matthew 16, 13, I'm going to read this to you. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Now, I want to go back to verse 23, and we're going to kind of go through this passage of Scripture, and I want to just go verse by verse, but I want to start with verse 23, where Jesus looks at Peter, and this just jumped out at me right away. He says, you are seeing things, or he says, you're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view. So the title of my message tonight is The Dangerous Trap. The dangerous trap. And I want to tell you, the dangerous trap is seeing things from a human point of view and not from a God point of view. How many of you know that you can see things from one point of view and it may not be the right point of view, but if you see things from God's point of view, it's always going to be the right point of view. Amen. Let me ask you this. I want to kind of give you an illustration to maybe help us out with this, seeing things from different points of view. How many of you like gummy candies? Anybody here like a gummy candies? We got a few people. I love gummy candies. And how many of you like these Lifesaver gummies? Anybody in here like these? These are so good. Now, I would just ask somebody, does anybody want to come up and have one of these? But let me just show you something here. Let me peek in here. Let me be careful. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay, here we go. All right. Who would like a gummy? Lifesaver. Would anybody that likes gummy Lifesavers now, I'd like a volunteer if you'd like to come up and take this gummy right here. I promise it's clean and there has been no cheese on this trap. Very clean. And you can't use your hands, you can only use your lips. Would anybody like to try this? Now let me tell you why. Let's think about this for just a second. I'm going to set this back over here so you can look at it. Ooh. Boy, I feel a whole lot better with that out of my hands. So let me ask you something. When you look at that, you see a trap. When a rat looks at that, he sees free candy. And I want you to understand the difference between God and us is that great and even greater. There are many things in life right now that you're looking at and it looks good, but you don't understand that if you get too close to that, you're going to end up with something real hard on your neck. You understand what I'm talking about? And many of us have experienced that before. Sin looks good. The Bible says it's sweet for a season, but it ends in death. So I want you to look at this, and I want to think about this for just a second. I like to think about things, and sometimes my mind's a little bit different than a lot of people's. And so, you know, I look at this, and I ask myself, these things have been used for hundreds of years. I mean, this is not a new invention. And rats, you know, have seen other rats dead in that trap. And you can set another trap right by a trap that's got a dead rat in it, and a rat will come up and eat it again and think that he can get away with it. He thinks that maybe, he thinks maybe, well, he was a little bit too slow, that guy. I know him. You know, he's not as fast as I am. I can sneak up in there and grab it, and I'm going to be gone before any bad things happen. And many of us have thought that in our own lives. We've looked at other people, and we've seen ruin come to their lives, and we think to ourselves, well, I'm smarter than they are. I'm faster than they are. That may have happened to them, but it won't happen to me, and we've learned the hard way that that's not something you want to do. Now, let me ask you, why is it that I can look at that, and you can look at that, and we can realize right away, this is not something that I want to mess with? Because you've had a revelation of what a rat trap is. You understand what a rat trap is. The reason that the rat doesn't have any idea is because he's never received a revelation of what's going to happen when he bites that, because if he knew what you knew, he would stay as far away from that as you stay. And the reason many of us keep getting caught up in the same thing over and over and over again is because we don't have a revelation of the way God sees things. We're seeing things from a man's point of view and not from a God's point of view. And tonight, what I believe is that God wants to give us his point of view and not our point of view. I believe all over this building right now, God is getting ready to put his finger on some things in your life. He's getting ready to show you some things where you've been having a man's point of view instead of a God's point of view. And you may be asking yourself over and over, why do I keep doing this? Why does this keep happening to me? Why do I keep falling into this same thing? I'm going to pray tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's going to put his finger on that. And tonight we're going to get free from some things that God wants to deliver us from. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I thank you tonight, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. And I ask you, Father, that you would come and move in our hearts. Father, we ask you that you would illuminate the word tonight. Father, I pray that as the word of God goes forth, that it would be heard, and it wouldn't just be heard with our natural ears, but it would be heard with our spiritual ears. Lord, I pray for revelation to come from you tonight in each and every one of our hearts and minds, Father. Lord, help us to see things the way you see them and not the way man sees them. Lord, we don't want to keep falling into the same trap. We don't want to keep falling to the same thing, God. We need revelation, and we need our eyes to be open. And Holy Spirit, we know that you're the one that can do it. So we ask you to come tonight, and we ask you to open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to go back to verse 15, and I want to just walk through this for a little while tonight. Verse 15, Jesus looks at them and he says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He says, who do you say that I am? So this is the biggest and most important question that any of us will ever answer. I want to tell you tonight, the best question, the biggest question that anybody can ever ask you in your whole life is, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that he is tonight? It doesn't matter what your mama says. It doesn't matter what your daddy says. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It matters, who do you say that he is? And all of us have to come to a place where we can answer that ourselves. Many said he was a prophet or a good teacher or he was a religious man. But the problem with that is that he didn't leave any room to be a good man. He said way too many things. He made way too many claims just to be a good teacher or a good man. If you call yourself God and you're not God, you're not a good man. You're a lunatic, right? And he declared many times that he was God. And so Jesus didn't leave room for anybody to call him a good teacher. Because either he was who he says he was, or he was crazy, right? Verse 16, here's Peter. I love Peter because he's always putting his sandal in his mouth, right? Verse 16, Peter says, Peter answered rightly with, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, I want you to see what's so awesome about this. This answer from Peter didn't come from Peter. It didn't come from a teacher. It didn't come from his family. It didn't come from the religious leaders. Who did it come from? It came from God. Jesus said it came from God. And so what we have to understand is all of us need a revelation tonight, and I wish that I could give you a revelation. I would love to be able to do that. I'd love to be able to come down and just hand you a revelation of what's going on in your life. But the problem is that I'm not the one that deals out revelations. Only the Holy Spirit does that. He's the only one that can open up our eyes to see the truth. Many of us know exactly what I'm talking about because you lived your life in a certain way for so long and you did so many bad things, and then all of a sudden you see Jesus for who he really is, and your life changes because of a revelation of who Jesus is. And you understand that revelation didn't come from a man or a woman, but it came from God himself. Verse 17, you didn't learn this from any human being. And I want to make this a point tonight. Revelation does not come from man. It comes from God. Teaching comes from man. And listen, this is why we love to hear the word of God taught, because guess what happens? When Pastor Chris and Pastor Miriam or any other person gets up here and they're preaching, what they're doing is they're preaching a revelation that God has given them. But when it gets to you or when it gets to me, it's not revelation, it's teaching, right? Because when the word of God goes forth, what makes it a revelation? How many of you know we all have the Bible? You can read it from cover to cover, but you don't have a revelation on all of that. And when the Holy Spirit gives a revelation, anointed teaching can lead to a revelation. And that's why we want to hear the word of God, because it boosts our faith and we can hear the word of God and have a revelation. But I want to tell you something. If the only time you hear the word of God is on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, what has the Holy Spirit got to reveal to you? That's why it's so important that we stay in the Word of God and we read the Word of God and we study the Word of God and we memorize the Word of God and we meditate on the Word of God. Because sometimes, man, you can study something. I've had that happen to me where I prayed and studied a scripture for like a week or two, and I'm just asking God, fasting in prayer, thinking, you know, God's going to drop this on me when I'm in my, you know, when I'm home in my prayer closet. You know what I'm talking about? And you think, Lord, you're going to come and visit me, and I don't feel any goosebumps. I don't feel any presence of God. And then I'm minding my own business, driving my car down the road, and all of a sudden the revelation comes, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, God, I didn't do anything, but you just dropped that on me. And I'm going to tell you, if you get in the word, the Bible says that if you seek the truth, you're going to find the truth. The Holy Spirit is longing to reveal himself to us if we'll get in the word of God, and we'll get it. Revelation, this is what it is. Revelation is when God turns the light on and reveals something that's been concealed to you. There are things that are concealed right now. You can't see it. You hear other people talking about it, and you see the fruit of it in their life, but it's not making sense. It's not happening for you. You need a revelation from God that will bring that concealed thing to the light so that you can begin to move and operate in that. Amen? So look at this. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. And I want to say tonight, we all need a revelation of who Jesus is, and that revelation only comes from God. There are probably people in this room right now, and you might have been in Sunday school your whole life. You've heard the gospel preached so many times, but you still haven't yet had a revelation, a personal revelation of who Jesus is. And the reason I know that is because I grew up in the church, and I thought I knew who God was. I thought I had a revelation of who God was, but it wasn't until I was 20 years old off the coast of Malta on a Navy ship when Jesus revealed himself to me, and I knew I would never be the same again. My life was completely different. It was completely changed, and I wasn't seeking God. God was seeking me. God brought that revelation to me without me even looking, and I'm so thankful for that. He opened my eyes and showed me that. Now, I want to ask you tonight, have you received a revelation of Jesus the Messiah like Peter did? The one that came to save us from our sins, or are you still unsure tonight? Or is that settled in your heart? Verse 21 through 22, let's read this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Now, I want you to just really think about this. When I read this, it's so funny. Jesus was telling the disciples, listen, I'm the Messiah, and I've got to suffer many terrible things and die and be raised from the dead on the third day. And the same Peter that had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ is going to reprimand the Christ. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, God shows Peter, this is the Christ. This is the promised one. This is the one that you've been waiting for. This is the one that Israel has been waiting for. And Peter receives that revelation, blurts it out in front of everybody, and then Jesus begins to say something that does not square with his theology, that does not make sense to his mind. Jesus, all of a sudden, he's been revealed to him that Jesus is the Christ, and then the next thing Jesus starts talking about is going to the cross and dying. And Peter goes, whoa, wait a second, Jesus. What you talking about? This ain't going to work, Jesus. You can't do this. And it says he reprimanded him. He pulls Jesus to the side and starts getting on to him. I mean, that just blows my mind when I think about that. He had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ, but he couldn't understand that the Christ would suffer and die. Let me ask you, why could he see one so clearly and be so blind to the other? He could see so clearly that Jesus was the Christ, but he couldn't see that he was going to suffer and die. Verse 23, this is the main verse that I want to talk about tonight. Jesus turned to Peter, and he said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view." Now, I don't know about you, but I have never looked at anybody and said, "Get away from me, Satan." I think that's pretty much about as harsh as you can get. Jesus didn't say you look like Satan. He didn't say you're acting like Satan. He didn't say you're talking like Satan. He looked at Peter right after Peter declares, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he looks at him and he says, "Get away from me, Satan. Get over there, Satan," in front of everybody. Peter pulls Jesus over to the side and starts reprimanding him. And then all of a sudden, Peter gets reprimanded back. What does this show us? Well-meaning people can be a dangerous trap for us if they're seeing from man's point of view. See, the problem is Peter was seeing the cross from man's point of view and not from God's point of view. Peter didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah that had come to give his life as a ransom for many. He thought he was going to be the Messiah that was going to lead them into the promised land at that time, and he was going to take over and do all these things. And many times we can have a revelation of Jesus, of who he is, but we don't understand what Jesus is calling us to. That's a dangerous trap. Jesus was looking at Peter and he says, "Listen, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're a dangerous trap to me." Why? Because you're seeing things from a man point of view. You're not seeing things from a God point of view. And I want to tell you tonight that we can be a dangerous trap to other people. If you're seeing things from a man's point of view tonight and you're not seeing things from a God point of view tonight, you can be a dangerous trap to other people. I remember when my wife and I got ready to go to Italy as missionaries, and there were a lot of people that asked well-meaning questions that we didn't know the answer to. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was a dangerous trap, because they started asking us questions. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And there were tons of questions that I had no answer to. Where are your kids going to go to school? What's going to happen about this? I had no idea. The only answer I had was, is God is calling us to do it, so we're going to follow him. They meant well, but they were a dangerous trap. I can only imagine when Pastor Chris and Miriam got ready to buy this land up the road years ago, some people were looking at this building thinking, "Hey, what's wrong with this building? What's wrong with this place? What's wrong with what we've got right here?" But God had something greater in mind, and thank God we've got leaders that are seeing things from a God point of view and not just a man's point of view, amen? So I want to encourage you, a human point of view can't believe that God's will is that sometimes we may have to suffer in this life in order to see God's glory. I want you to look at this. The dangerous trap for Jesus was the temptation to see things from a human point of view and not a God point of view. Peter had just declared who he was, and then all of a sudden, this person that was closer to him than anybody was giving him a way out, was giving him a way, was trying to tell him, no, Lord, this is, you can't do this. You can't be going and dying for the sins of the world. He didn't understand that revelation hadn't come to him yet. But the dangerous trap was for Jesus was the temptation to see things from a human point of view and not a God's point of view. Some people today don't believe that as a Christian they might go through suffering. How many of you know the Bible says the Apostle Paul suffered with a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed three times and he asked God to take that away, and the Lord said, "My grace is made perfect in your weakness." He's like, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about that. I'm going to be there for you. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 that Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Man's point of view is never going to want to suffer and pay a price for anything that God wants to give, even his glory. But Jesus knew the glory that was set before him. He knew the joy that was set before him. He knew what was coming ahead. And he looked at Peter and he said, you're a dangerous trap to me because you're not thinking from God's point of view. You're thinking from man's point of view. And I want to encourage you tonight. Many of us are facing situations and we're facing things and we're looking at it from a man's point of view instead of a God's point of view. And I want to tell you, when God brings you into a place where you're suffering, don't give up and run away, but duck your head down and say, God, if you brought me to this, you're going to bring me through this. And this is not going to kill me, but this is going to make me stronger. And actually, this is the fire that's going to draw out what you want in me so that I can become who you've called me to be. And I'm telling you, that's the way God looks at it, but we look at it in a completely different way. When life gets hard, we look for the easy way. I know this because I do the same thing. I can tell you, when you're trapping men or you're trapping animals, they are always going to go the easiest way. You want to set up an ambush? You don't do it in the thickest part. You do it in the open part, and you get ready, because men are naturally going to go to the easiest way. They're going to funnel themselves. All you have to do is wait. And it's the same way in life. We do that. We're going to run from those things. And I'm just telling you tonight, don't run from that stuff. Jesus didn't run from the cross because he knew that it was God's plan and it was God's will. Look at this in John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us right there, listen, you are gonna, if you're a Christ follower, if you have come to a place in your life where you say, God, I want to follow you, and I don't care what men think, I don't care what man's point of view. How many of you know today the world has a point of view that they're trying to push off on the church? They've got a point of view that they're trying to push down your throat at work, at school, and all those places. And I believe with all my heart that God is looking for believers that are going to say, listen, I'm not coming at this from a man point of view. I'm seeing this from a God's point of view. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it will not change. Even though we may make laws that will make this okay, God's word is not okay. And we've got to come to a place in our lives where we see that. Listen, a human point of view will only follow Jesus when it's convenient, not when it means giving up our own way. A human point of view will not embrace dying to ourselves so that Christ may live through us. Now, I want you to look at this one more time, and I want you to think about this in this passage where Jesus is talking to the disciples. And when you see this, it seems like it's all disjointed, but when you read those 13 verses that we read, Jesus is having a conversation, and he asks the disciples, who do people say that I am? And then they say what they say, and then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter pipes up, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then all of a sudden, Jesus begins to tell them, I'm going to go to suffer. I'm going to go die. Have you ever read how many times in the Gospels that Jesus told the disciples he was going to die? It's amazing how many times he told them that, and they just couldn't see it. You know why they couldn't see it? Because it hadn't been revealed to them yet. It was the mystery from the foundations of the earth, and it hadn't been revealed to anybody yet. The devil didn't know. The disciples didn't know. Nobody but Jesus and the Father knew. And I'm telling you, you would think it would be clear. You'd think it would be right in front of their face, but the reason that they didn't know is the same reason you and I don't know certain things right now, because we can't figure those out with our own intellect. It comes by revelation from the Holy Spirit. And we've got to have that revelation from God if we're going to see things from a God point of view and not merely a man's point of view. Now, I just want to tell you tonight, some of us are trying to figure things out on our own. We're trying to say, God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to make this happen? God, what about my kids? How am I going to get them back? And God, what about my marriage? And God, what about my finances? And I'm telling you, there's a revelation from the Holy Spirit that in one moment, he can give you a revelation that will change all of that. Amen. And he wants to do that. The Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom is calling out in the streets. Calling out in the streets all the time. Every time I have a hard time. You ever have times where you just can't hear God? That happens to me sometimes. And it's like I'm praying and I'm saying, God, where are you at? I can't hear you. And years ago, I realized it's not God's voice that's the problem. It's my ears are plugged up. My spiritual ears are stopped up. And if I'll just go out and begin to seek him and I'll just say, God, I don't care about all this other stuff. What's your point of view on this? You ever ask somebody what their point of view is? You wanna make friends? Let me just give, this is free. This wasn't even in my notes. I learned this years ago when I used to go out and do, I used to do surveys to share the gospel with people. And I would go up and I would ask people, you got 2 minutes for a survey? And people would turn me down all the time. And I was praying and I'm like, God, and I was trying to share the gospel with them. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with my approach? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit told me, ask people if they'll give you their opinion. You want to talk to somebody? Ask them their opinion. Everybody wants to tell you their opinion. You want to talk to a teenager? Some people have a problem. You may have teenagers at home. Let me give you some free advice right here. You want to have a conversation with your teenager? Ask them anything about their opinion on something and watch their face light up. They'll be walking away. When I started doing that, I'd be like, hey, you got 2 minutes to take this survey? And people are like, man, get out of here. I ain't got time for that. And then I'd catch another group of people coming by and I'd say, hey, can I get your opinion on something, sir? Oh, well, yes. Let me come over here and let me tell you what on what. They don't even care what it is. They just want to give their opinion on it, right? That's a free tool right there that you can put in the belt and you can use that in all kinds of situations. That was a revelation from the Holy Spirit right there to me years ago. Let me tell you, a human point of view will not embrace dying to ourselves so that Christ may live through us. Many of us understand this, and we've battled with this, especially if you've been a believer for a while. You know, when you first get saved and you're so on fire for God and you tell God, Lord, I remember times where I would say, God, I don't care what you tell me to do. I don't care how crazy it is. I don't care where you want me to go. You say it and I'm there, God. I will go anywhere. I will say anything. You want me to talk to that person? Just tell me and I'll go right. I don't even know who they are. They may think I'm crazy. I'm just going to go pray for them. I don't even care. And then we'll go through seasons like that, and then all of a sudden we'll go through this time where we get in frustration and we get in times where it's like, man, it's just not happening like I thought it would, and I'm not seeing the things that I thought I would be seeing, God, and I just don't understand these things. And I want to tell you, it's in those seasons of our life that when we draw close to God, you see, you're not seeing it from God's point of view. You're seeing it from your point of view. You're not seeing the things that God is doing in your life during that time. You're not seeing the things that he's shaven off of you. You're not seeing those things that he's taken out of you. You're not understanding what's going on in that time, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to show us tonight that if we'll get out of our mere human point of view and we'll start seeing things from God's point of view, we'll understand that there's even blessing in the waiting. There's blessing in the time that it seems like we're frustrated and things are not happening like we want them to happen. And I'm telling you, in that time, God is doing so much in your life. And he's changing things in you that have to be changed so that when he puts you out there, you're going to be ready and you're not going to fail. A human point of view won't take up its cross. Jesus is the only person that ever went to the cross willingly. It's our nature not to want to die to ourselves. It's our nature to want to have our own way. Even the nicest of us, even the sweetest person you know, they're selfish. And it may be hard for you to believe unless you're married to them. I'm not talking about my wife. She's the sweetest person I know, right? But you understand what I'm talking about. A human point of view is self-preservation. I saw this video one time, and and every time I think about this, it makes me laugh. I don't know if you've seen this, but there it's like a scary clown prank, where this guy will be dressed up like a scary clown and he'll have this big sledgehammer and he's got this horrible looking clown mask on, and they'll get in parking garages and he'll be sitting around the corner and he'll wait for people to come out of an elevator in the parking garage, and then all of a sudden he just steps around like this and just stands there with a big wooden mallet. And you know what I've saw in that? I've seen men walking with their wives, and as soon as that thing steps around the corner, they take off running and leave their wife. Their wife's falling down and they're just streaking, boy. I mean, they would beat Usain Bolt in a 100-meter dash. Gone. Left her. And you know what's so funny? We laugh about that, but do you know what's so funny about that? That's self-preservation at its finest. You will run like crazy if it comes to meaning you're going to have to die to yourself. And we do that in the spirit world all the time. If God tells us, hey, get rid of that, give that up, don't mess with that, we run the other way just as fast as we can. Uh-uh, God, this is, I love this thing now. I love myself more than I love that, so I gotta take care of me, right? And we're the biggest enemy that we have because it's our point of view and not his point of view. The problem is we're thinking from our point of view, we're not thinking from God's point of view. Peter, from his human point of view, couldn't see the beauty of the plan of God that Jesus would suffer and die for all the sin of the world, rise again on the third day. Let me tie this in where you can see this. See, when Peter looked at Jesus and he said, listen, this will never be, God, Messiah, Christ, this ain't never gonna be. What the problem was is Peter was looking at it thinking Jesus is gonna die and be dead. Jesus is looking at it from God's point of view and he's saying, listen, you don't even understand that I'm the sacrifice. I'm the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. It was for this purpose that I came into the world, to save men from their sins. And what he couldn't see was from man's point of view, Jesus could see from God's point of view. And Jesus looked at him and he said, you're a dangerous trap to me. Get away from me. Now, I want you to understand tonight, we've got to get to a place where we see things from God's point of view and not just from man's point of view. Now, I want to say this. The cross was God's idea, not Satan's idea. The cross was God's idea. It wasn't the devil's idea. He had no idea what was going on. Do you think for a second, if he knew what was happening, that he would have stirred that mob up and incited them? Jesus was innocent. Jesus had to give permission for him, for his own self to die. I mean, when you read the Gospels, it's such an amazing thing. He's absolutely innocent. They try to try him, and all of the witnesses that are coming out, they none of them can get their stories together. And under the Old Testament law, you had to have two or three witnesses that would be able to agree on something, and they couldn't even agree on what Jesus had done wrong. And then Jesus had to say something crazy so that they would get mad and say, we've heard it with our own ears. What use do we have for anybody else? And then all of a sudden he goes before Pilate. Pilate examines him. And what does Pilate say? Listen, I find no fault in this man. His blood is on your hands. And he washes his hands and walks away. And then Jesus had to do that because nobody else knew what was going on. See, we have the blessing of reading the Bible from start to finish, but they had no idea what was happening in that time. Nobody knew except Jesus and the Father. I can only imagine what Jesus must have been thinking on the inside. Man, you guys ain't got no clue what's getting ready to happen. In about 3 days, I'm about to take off and the whole world is going to go crazy. It ain't never going to be the same after I come up out of here. And you're looking at things from a God point of view or a man's point of view thinking I'm going to be in the grave and I'm going to die and everything we've been doing is going to die. And Jesus is like, that's man's point of view. God's point of view is I'm coming out of the grave and I'm going to be preached all over the world. And even 2,000 years later, there's going to be a church in Jacksonville, North Carolina called River of Life. And they're going to be blood-bought believers in that place. And they're going to be people that are going to lay down their lives for me. And we're going to shake a place. That's what's going to happen. That's what Jesus was looking at, because he saw things from a God point of view, not from a man point of view. Now Jesus shows us the God point of view, and I want to show you what it is. Verse 26, look at this. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? The dangerous trap is thinking that things of this life are worth more than your eternal soul. That's the dangerous trap. See, a human point of view says do whatever it takes to make yourself happy, even if it means breaking God's law, even if it means whatever that means. Do what it takes to make you happy. That's a human point of view. It's a human point of view. It's a man point of view. The world is preaching that so loud right now. That's echoing in our ears. That's what our kids are hearing in school. That's what you're hearing at work. That's what we're hearing everywhere. Do what makes you happy, what your truth is. What I want to know is, when did we ever get your truth and my truth? The Bible says Jesus is the truth. Amen? I don't know what just happened there. Did it go? No, there it is. It's still here. Devil's trying to turn my microphone off. See, a human point of view says do whatever it takes to make yourself happy, even if it means breaking God's law and thinking of yourself above others. That's not God's point of view. God showed us and given the very best that he had. What's God's point of view? God's point of view is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said those that now live shouldn't live no longer for themselves but for him who died for them and rose again. That's God's point of view. See, there's a Christianity, when I think about this, there's a Christianity that's a selfish Christianity. It's come to Jesus and get this, come to Jesus and get that, come to Jesus so this can happen and that can happen. And those are all great things, but if you look at what Jesus says right here, he says, listen, if you're going to follow me, the first step in this is you got to deny yourself. You got to lay your life down. You got to take your point of view and throw it out the window and now take my Father's point of view so that you don't become a dangerous trap to yourself and others. God's point of view says give up your life and receive the abundant life that's been prepared for you. You ever thought about that? We love that verse in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what, as I've been thinking about that and praying about that, you can't live your life and the abundant life. If you want the abundant life, you've got to lay your life down. If you want to live the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, you have to be willing to lay the life that you have down now and say, God, this becomes an offering to you that from now on, I'm died to my point of view, I'm dead to my point of view, and now from now on, I'm going to walk in your point of view, and I want to have this eternal life, this abundant life that you can have. You can either live your life or you can live the abundant life, but you can't live both. Now, when I ask you today, all of us today have so many things going on in our life. What point of view are you making your decisions from today? You making your decision from man's point of view, or are you making your decisions from God's point of view? How can we see God's point of view in our life today if we don't know? Now, I want to encourage you with this as I get ready to close tonight. You know where you see God's point of view? In the Word of God. Amen. You want to know what God thinks about something? Do you want to know what the point of view of God is? It's right there in the Word of God. How beautiful is that? That he knew that people were going to be saying, you know, hey, you can, you know, the Bible's old, it's antiquated. We need to get rid of this thing. It's gotta change. It's gotta, you know, get modern with the times. But the Word of God says that it's forever settled in heaven. Jesus said, listen, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle are going to pass away from the words that I've spoken. So we have to understand. I heard an interviewer the other day that said, listen, you know, doesn't the Bible have to get with the times? And see, Jesus said something to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He said, listen, you err because you don't know the scriptures. Let me help you with this. When you think about this, if God could change his mind, then that means he's not unchanging. He's not immutable. For him to change his mind about something that he said 2,000 years ago would mean that he's wrong today. Do you understand that? That's why the word can never change, because God can never change. And so his truth 2,000 years ago is still truth now, and it will be truth 2,000 years from now. The culture will change, men's minds will change, man's point of view will change, but God's point of view is forever settled in heaven. And so you can get in the Word of God. You can study the Bible. You can read the Word. You can get the Word in you, and what's going to happen is, guess what? Your point of view is going to become God's point of view. Because the Word of God gets inside of you and begins to change your thoughts and it begins to change your ways. Are you struggling with decisions that are hard to make and you need his point of view tonight? I just want to pray tonight as we get ready to close, and I just want to ask the Holy Spirit right now that he would just come into this place and he would begin to give us his point of view. I believe that there are people here tonight that you've been asking God, Lord, I need to see this in a different light. I need to see this in a different way. I believe there's encouragement that God wants to give tonight. I believe there's direction that God wants to give tonight. I believe there's even some things that you've got to quit doing that the Holy Spirit will show you. But the deal is that you've got to be willing to do that. And it, just when I said that, I feel like the Lord is saying this tonight, that there are some of you that God has spoken to you already about what to stop doing. To stop doing that, to stop thinking that way, to stop looking that way. And you keep asking God, why does this keep happening? And God has already shown you and told you, get rid of that. Quit that. Stop doing that. And I just want to encourage you tonight, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him move in your heart and let him show you what it is that he wants to do. So, Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for your grace that is here tonight. Father, I pray that all over this place right now that you'd begin to touch us and change our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful that Jesus didn't see things from man's point of view. We're so thankful, Lord, that Jesus was seeing things from a God point of view. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this place tonight. I pray that your grace would be manifested in our lives. And Father, I pray that wrong mindsets would be broken tonight. I pray, Father, that areas where we've been in the dark, Father, that we don't know what to do, that we're unsure of which direction to take, Father. I pray that you would break that off of us in Jesus' name, and that you would bring a revelation into our lives. Lord, I pray right now for the people that know what they need to do. Lord, you've even been speaking to them tonight. You've even been telling them tonight, you need to get in this. You need to begin to do this. You need to begin to speak this. You need to get out of that place. You need to get into this place. Father, I thank you right now that you're releasing revelation to us right now. And Lord, I thank you right now for the obedience to walk in that. Thank you for the obedience to walk in that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity tonight before I close. You may say, Pastor, I know that I've been thinking from my point of view and I haven't been following Jesus. And tonight God has shown me that. And I know that I need to give my life to him. I know that I need to repent of my sins. I know that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've heard the gospel. I've heard those things, but it's never been real in my life. Father, I pray right now for a revelation to come to each of us. And if that's you right now and you say, I want to make a decision tonight, I want to follow Jesus. I want to leave that life behind and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Right where you're sitting, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can see where you are and I can pray for you before we leave tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask everybody that would, if you would just pray this out loud with me, with our brothers and sisters that's raised their hands tonight. Just pray this with me. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I don't want to think my own way. I don't want to have my own point of view. I want to see things from your point of view. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Now I ask you to come into my life. Make me new. Change my life. Give me a new point of view. Lord, I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.